You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Come on, folks.
Boom. We out here.
Yeah. We're inside.
I worked out yesterday, and this little pose hurts a little too much.
Oh, you worked out.
I worked out. I work out, Alexis.
Damn. What happened?
Some people just, you know, care about their health and well-being.
Well, you got a doctor's appointment coming up? What you working out for?
I'm trying to impress the nurse practitioner.
You know what I mean? Jeez, how are my numbers doing?
What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Of the Cooligans. Excited to be here. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And we're here. But our producer is
Miguelito.
Not.
Miguelito's
not.
He went home.
He went full Miguelito.
No, estoy aquí. Estoy a casa.
Bro.
Yes, the voice you're hearing, Miguelito. He is calling in remote. He is remotely producing or producing remotely.
Yeah. He doing a little work from home.
This is a little 2024 production, right?
Yeah. So he's doing a little work from La Playa, bro.
My man, he's wearing thongs. Yeah. You know, meaning the shoes.
The shoes, the flip. I got the other
one on too, bro. Don't worry.
And look, I was trying to, incorporate, because we don't, in studio, we don't have a camera for Miguelito, but I was like, yo, maybe it might be fun to get him on screen while
people
he's
gonna see what he looks like. Is this a first time?
Look at that, bro!
Oh, he's right here.
Oh, look!
What was that? Is that the thumbs up?
Yeah,
thing?
He hasn't shut off the video reactions on his MacBook.
Why? This is the new U2 album. Nobody asked for this, but it's automatically on our computers.
It is by default. So look, but it worked perfectly with the timing. All right, so Miguelito, he is in Miami. He is, you're still going to hear him, and he's still very much a part of the
show.
His
accent might change.
He's at the Metalark studio for the first time.
Yeah. I'm at the Metalark studio.
Estoy a la Metalark studio.
All right, whoa. How can a guy named Miguelito culturally appropriate?
I love it. We have a lot to go over today, because the U.S. Open Cup is happening.
There's so much going on.
The Nations League, the U.S. men's national team will be playing today.
Jamaica.
Against Jamaica. And then a couple other things. Obviously, I mentioned U.S. Open Cup.
We have a guest, bro.
We do have a guest, and this is
a big deal.
This is a huge deal, because I think we teased it a little bit on the last episode, because we were like, we just want to make sure it actually happens. We don't want to get our hopes up and then something happen.
Right.
We put it on wax.
Yeah, if you are a older millennial lady that listens to this show.
Which we got plenty.
Or older than that. Was that a Gen X?
Yeah.
Maybe you're Gen X, you know? Maybe you enjoyed early morning television in the early 2000s and the late 2000s. You're going to want to watch this if you're listening.
Because we are joined by none other.
The most chiseled jawline that's ever been on this show.
Mark Consuelos.
Wow.
Will be joining us in just a moment. Mark Consuelos, obviously.
Do we have a drip button for all the ladies listening?
I hope not.
I'll give you one of those.
I do not. I'm not going to add that button.
I want to have one of those. I want to have one of them buttons.
No.
We're just going to gross out our audience. No, so Mark Consuelos, obviously from Live with Kelly and Mark every morning. Mm-hmm. And ABC, right? ABC.
That's
and
a different channel. We don't co-sign that.
But
but those two, they're great.
Get on DraftKings Network, yeah, Kelly and Mark. Why not? Anyway, so they're gonna, he's going to be joining us to talk about one of the clubs that he owns in Italy.
They both own it. I found that out. Both him and Kelly.
Okay, look at that. It's a family cool business.
Yeah.
So Campobasso is Mark Consuelos, his club, and he's going to be talking about it. And my man, I mean, not only does he know calcio, he knows football. He played. And he's also incredibly handsome. So
yeah.
I mean, two, you combine those two
when
things.
When you bring both of them together,
I'm just like, yo, you are.
I thought it was just me, you know, but it turns out.
Well, you're free to walk through that door
if
you know both of those things, yeah, if you have both of those qualities.
You are welcome on our show.
So Mark Consuelos will be joining us in a little bit. So
my first question was, Mark, could you stop looking at me like that?
I asked politely.
Yeah, yeah. We're not twins, dude. You can stop asking.
But, okay, so we'll get to that in a little bit. We have a lot of soccer to go over. But this right now, we're going to start with actually something a little bit different.
We're going to be a little mean, I think.
You know what I mean? Because we have to talk about basketball.
Yeah.
Just
we're talking
moment.
Basketball. Hold on. I think what we're talking about, maybe trying to achieve basketball. But we may not be actually talking basketball here.
Okay, what's below G League?
Yeah.
we have to talk about it because Amin El Hassan, our co-worker here at Meadowlark Media,
former guest of the show.
He's been on the show. I was on Lebatard's show in Miami just recently. He was on the show as well. We were talking about Messi versus Maradona. You know, he claims Maradona was better because he did it while on cocaine, and it became a real fun segment
that
on
is,
the show.
You know what? That's a good point. And maybe homie should have hit the snow, you know what I mean? Hit the slopes before playing basketball.
Because if you haven't seen this clip of Amin El Hassan,
I'll try to explain it for those listening.
Yes, he's at a celebrity basketball game.
He's at the three-point line at the corner, which is, by the way, I have no depth perception or a very bad depth perception.
Okay.
There was an issue where I shoved a straw into my left eye when I was young.
Hold on. What?
I thought when I was a kid, I thought if I put a straw in my eye, I'd be able to see further.
Wow. The original left eye from TLC. Yeah.
And guess what I found out? You don't.
Okay.
But your mother does rush with you as liquid flies out of your eye.
All right.
But anyway.
We'll get to that.
Saying is it's very difficult for me to hit a three-pointer from the left because without the backboard, it's hard for me to gauge the distance.
Gotcha.
That's not the issue here. Here, it's very much a form issue.
So Amin, we're watching Amin, and we're just gonna let this loop a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
Amin is he's warming up. She's shooting a three.
Now let me ask you, Christian, you've probably done this before. You seem like the kind of person who does this at parties. Have you ever taken a basketball and spun it so that it spins on your finger?
Yes. I'm not good at it, but I know the motion.
Okay.
Yes,
now
yes.
Imagine you did that at the end of your shooting motion.
Okay. So look, I mean,
am I explaining it well?
I think so. The last few years that. Especially Steph Curry has been in the league. Mm-hmm. People have been talking about shooting form, mm-hmm. right? Where your elbow
tuck
is.
Your elbow.
Tuck elbow.
Tuck your elbow.
We
that
know,
would not have helped here.
We know of some classic unorthodox shooting forms.
Yes.
Like Shawn Marion is the one that comes to mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shawn Marion had the like... shooting the basketball like a soccer player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Not really knowing what to do with his hand. Just, but my man was a bucket.
Yeah, yeah. He found a way. unlike professional soccer players, he found a way to get the ball in.
So Amin El Hassan is warming up, taking a shot, and this image and these moving pictures. There's mm-hmm. 4 seconds of it has. The internet
captivated
the internet. Everybody's roasting him, and mainly because Amin's job is to critique and give his opinions on basketball. That is his expertise. He works for the Phoenix Suns at the front office. My man knows he knows the game in and out.
Can we just pause this for a second?
Sure.
And also just talk about what a perfect timing on the pause. It currently looks, this is, the ball just left his hand.
Yeah.
One hand is facing west, the other one is facing north. That's how you want.
I was going to say, you guys would be pretty proud of this one. It's looking like he's got a pretty nasty curveball coming.
Yeah. I will also say that he currently, the body form right now looks as if he's just been hit by a bus.
But look, his fingers are pointing to the shot clock,
yeah,
but the
yeah.
ball yeah. is going to the other yeah. shot clock. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. On the other end of the court.
This is Kellen Acosta's goal. But I want to talk about the dress, how the man is dressed currently.
Okay.
He looks like he was the last pick of the first round.
Oh,
he's wearing
pretty
good body spandex. No, I'm saying he's not shooting like that. He's got the full body spandex. He's got the, what are these socks with the dots that all the players wear?
True socks.
True socks. He's got the true socks on. He's got the full body black spandex, the full soccer, the full basketball jersey and shorts over it. He got the.
It looks like he might be wearing a full, like, leotard.
100%.
I mean?
Are those the Sabrina Ionesco ones?
I don't know.
They might be the Sabrinas. My man is wearing bucket-like clothing. But
you think people are going to make the argument for Amin? Like, he should have used a smaller ball.
Yeah,
he used a WNBA ball.
He should. You know how they said Sabrina maybe bit off more than she could chew by trying to say, I'll shoot from the NBA three.
Right.
Which, by the way, we do not co-sign. Shouts to the New York Liberty. Shouts to Sabrina. By the way, we want Sabrina on this show.
Let's go.
This would be a dream guest.
Awesome. Come on.
I will say, in this case, maybe Amin should have tried this from maybe the
like out of bounds?
The free throw shot.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Not the 3-point line.
Look, I don't know.
Can we bring the basket down? Is that possible for my man?
I want to see Amin dunk, bro. Yeah. Bring the basket down.
Without his feet leaving the ground.
So we look, he's been having fun with it. He's been retweeting everything and going in on all the jokes. It is what it is, bro. You criticize. We did free kicks.
Hey.
We did free kicks with NYCFC players.
We attempted
free kicks.
You had a good one.
I had a good one on my right, but my left was brutal.
And both my feet were brutal. Although the right one, I think, wasn't terrible.
Right. So, look, this is, I like that he can laugh about it.
You gotta have a sense of humor. Especially when your job is to cook athletes. You try to do something and it looks like this, you're about to get cooked yourself.
Exactly. So that it's part of the game. It's part of the hustle of being in media.
This is a brutal, brutal place to pause.
Not a great shot. But no. I've seen other photos of Amin, dribbling and laying up the ball.
Those are all Photoshop. That's AI.
Kate Middleton edited those photos to put them on.
The royal family says, we saw him dunk.
My man did it under the legs, bro. Amin won the slam dunk competition.
Right? The East Bay funk dunk was invented in Amin's backyard.
Amin Hassan. Right
Amin,
there.
So shout out to Amin Hassan. It is what it is, but we support. This is the homie, so everybody's cooking you. And it's like, all right, we just
want to pile on for the culture, you know?
We laid back in the cut for a little bit.
Yeah.
But now
we let the internet speak, and now we
had our say, and it's all love. You roast the ones you love. So shout out to Amin Hassan.
We're starting with CONCACAF Nations League. It's coming up. First game is going to be tonight, Thursday night, whenever you're listening to this. It might have happened already, Thursday night, USMNT. First thing we want to talk about, though, is the roster. We never got a chance to really review which players got selected. What are you guys' thoughts on the team? How do you think they're going to fare in this tournament?
I think a lot of people were shocked that Gio Reyna is on the squad.
Right.
Because he's not getting a lot of playing time with Nottingham Forest.
Not a lot. It's not any.
Right now, some people are like, wait, he's still on Nottingham Forest?
They deduct minutes from Gio Reyna like they deduct points from Nottingham Forest, bro.
I don't mean to
roast y'all too hard, but I'm
and that's the Everton fan, yo. You know how hard it was for him to do that?
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, okay, second charge coming up.
Your boy's upset.
Uh-huh. Like, when you tip after the Uber Eats comes? Second charge coming up. You about to get another notification. I feel bad for Gio Reyna. Because people are putting a lot of doubt on his abilities with the national team, but this is where we see him shine, man. Yeah. He wasn't getting minutes with Dortmund, came in Nations League, and he cooked them boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's look, I do expect him to gain some confidence.
Yeah, because at least somebody, you got to get the aggression out. You know
at least
I mean?
Somebody trusts him to put him in a game, and it seems to only be Greg Berhalter of all people.
I know, right?
It seems to be only Greg Berhalter at the time. Who is?
If I was Greg, I'd be like, you're about to go in the team. Yeah, I'm all you got. You know what I mean?
Look who's that. Yeah.
Hey, Gio, come over here. Let me explain to you what I want you to do. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even be on the pitch. You know, hit him with one of them.
So the roster stuff, I'll bring it up in a second. But I mean, the familiar names. I mean, we had some players drop out due to injury. Josh Sargent,
one of them.
Who else that was injured?
Johnny Cardozo. Right? I'm pretty sure Johnny Cardozo was out.
Yeah. So so when it comes to the biggest, I guess, shock or surprise. Gio Reyna, and then also Tyler Adams. Tyler Adams has had a surgery on his hamstring.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna get too many minutes, but he's in the camp.
Yeah, so he got called up, and some people are kind of questioning that as well, given the situation of like, do you call up players that will definitely play versus players that you're trying to reintegrate into the team. Mm-hmm. Tyler Adams, obviously, been captain for a while of the U.S. men's national team. So I get the call up, and he's been playing in the Bournemouth 2 or whatever, like the lower PL2
or maybe the U23s. I know they have the PL U23s.
So he's been playing there and getting some time. But this when I look at the USMNT roster, especially in this game against Jamaica, I'm not too shocked or surprised. But
who's one person you want to see though? Is there one person in particular like, yo, I want to see this person ball out or just get minutes?
I mean, look.
Dest is not going to play in the first game, I think, because he's still suspended. Because
he got suspended, yeah. Who do I want? I mean, I guess, honestly, one of my main things is seeing how well Christian Pulisic is basically dominating Serie A. He has arguably been the best player transferred in to Serie A this season. And
I don't think I could disagree with that.
And I want to see I want to see a more poised Christian Pulisic. I mean, Nations League is usually when he steps up. We remember the games against Mexico. Remember the penalty he scored, just the goals he scored. There's something that happens when Christian Pulisic is wearing a U.S. men's national team jersey that is, you know, we see him celebrate at Milan, and we've seen him, kind of show some respect to Chelsea when he scored a goal, because he obviously was a
really, really great Chelsea player.
But there's something when the U.S. men's national team, to me, is the where Christian Pulisic sees not only a duty and responsibility to growing the game in this country, and then growing the brand of the U.S. men's national team and U.S. soccer to the rest of the world, and show them like, yo, we got ballers here. So he is
he's not the captain, but I think he also shows that this is his house.
Yes, and he has captained the team in the past. But so he is probably the main person that I'm looking for just some like good performances. The game against Jamaica. Jamaica is missing Mikel Antonio, Leon Bailey.
The three best players.
Damari Gray. They're missing.
Leon Bailey is out for disciplinary reasons. Mikel Antonio is injured. And Damari Gray's out because he's suspended.
Okay.
And there's more players that are
there's
out.
There's more. Yeah, I saw a list and it was like seven or eight guys.
Amari Bell, Shamar Nicholson, and Trevante Stewart.
Yeah.
So, but the three best players, they're not going to be there.
So
we got to win.
We got to win this one. So that's why I'm almost like, it definitely, it's a little disappointing that they're missing those players. Because
it would have been a better game.
It not only would have been a better game, but it would have been a better test for the U.S. men's national team. So that's my only concern. But you know, again, I expect a victory, and it should be, not necessarily resounding. But given that Jamaica's missing these players, I would imagine that the U.S. Should do well.
I'm interested to see Balogun. you know, hasn't been playing all that great at Monaco lately, but he started out hot. I'm excited to see him. I think most you actually stopped on the perfect player, Joe Scally.
Okay.
You know, without Serginho Dest being able to play, I think it's going to be nice to see what our back line looks like. Whoa, what's on the right-hand side
there? Oh, no. we'll blur that or something. Yo, the comment section on Twitter is...
Bro, some people really love America. You know, there's some women very excited about this game.
Luckily, it wasn't complete nudity, no, but it was...
Which is allowed on TikTok, on Twitter, or X, but definitely not on our show.
No, it's not allowed on TikTok. No. But that's the one we got to ban.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That was just a lot of room in that trunk of that car.
Just,
you
know? glad the show isn't live right now. You know? Hey, just, Miguelito, mark that one. Yeah. Mark that timestamp.
And you know what? And also zoom throw in. It up on the Patreon. Let them see. They get to see
it. Zoom in to the side there right when it comes
out. Wow. What's on the right? But Joe Scally, I'm interested. I mean, Christopher Lund also, I'm a big fan of. Or that was that Horvath? Horvath might be the best goalkeeper right now. He's form wise.
Yeah, where's he playing?
He's at Cardiff City.
Okay,
he got transferred in the January. Because
he was at Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, and technically, they gave him a kit. I think that's the best. But yeah, I'm interested to see the back line. I want to know what as we get closer to Nations League, what is really our best? You know, Tim Ream, he's up a little bit up there in age.
Yeah.
Is he still the guy? He's not really the guy right now at Fulham. So a lot of questions.
All right. So, yeah. So, obviously, Nations League starts today. The game is at 7 p.m. So, basically, by the time you're listening to this, you know, we probably already know the result. But the so this is the Nations League semifinal, and then we're the winner of Panama Mexico, and then the final will be, I believe, Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. Or yeah, I believe Sunday. So the in Dallas, I mean, look, I, it feels like we're setting up for another U.S. Mexico game. And did you see the comments from Chucky Lozano? There's been a lot.
No,
Hercules Gomez, Hercules Gomez retweeted it, but they, Chucky Lozano did an interview with the guy. I forgot his name, but the guy who interviewed Chicharito that said that when the famous Chicharito quote,
Chingonas?
Porque imaginémonos cosas chingonas or something like that, or whatever. About winning Mexico winning the World Cup. And Chucky Lozano provided several... a lot of smoke.
Hit him with the quotes? Oh, smoke.
Smoke for Tata Martino. And basically said that, you know, that he treated us like children, that he basically had like a military style oversight of the team, and that it didn't work, and it didn't it didn't resonate.
Did you hear what Edson Alvarez said?
No, I didn't.
He claims that he believes Tata Martino purposely threw the game against Argentina.
Ah. Bro.
Wow. I mean,
really? We're doing this?
Yo, he did some interview. I just saw the clip of it earlier.
Yeah.
Where he said, hey, we were good friends. We would talk tactics.
At the World Cup, obviously.
Yeah.
Right?
We had a very close relationship, you know, where we would talk tactics. We would respond to each other's texts very quickly. We were very close. He said, I think he intimated that he wasn't very close with a lot of people on the team.
Uh-huh.
But with him, he was. And maybe it's because he played in Europe. Or he asked a lot about the tactics at Ajax. That was like a big part of the relationship. And then when it came to the game match against Argentina, I'm not sure if I remember this correctly, but Edson didn't start. And apparently Tata went cold on him, wouldn't respond to his text, wouldn't answer what was going on.
Ghosted him.
And he believes it was on purpose so that he didn't field the best team against Argentina because of his connection to Argentina. Now,
very alleged. Yeah, that's a crazy wild allegation.
And also, don't know if I believe it either.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, look, people, it's easy in hindsight to try to figure out like why he made the decisions he made. And, you know, we saw Mexico at the World Cup. They didn't get out of the group. It did not go well. People were not happy. We went to the U.S.-Mexico game at Azteca, and then the entire crowd was just, from minute one, they were like, fuera Tata, fuera Tata.
Yeah,
they were not happy with him, even during those qualifiers. Mm-hmm. So...
That was a 0-0 draw, right?
Yeah. So that was so you can understand the frustration on everybody's part, from the fans to the players themselves. But to even though, yeah, Tata Martino is Argentinian, has coached the Argentinian national team, to call into question his
integrity, that's a tough one,
is pretty wild.
And from Edson Álvarez, one of the better players on the team.
Right, right, right.
You know, the guy's got a stellar career right now in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. For him to make that claim was a little rough.
It's a little rough. Yeah, I mean, but, you know.
Or at least to intimate it.
Now we're here, you know, the comments from Chucky Lozano as well were, I think, were at least fair. They were, like, critical. He didn't like his, like, coaching style and management style.
Right. Edson's like, he hates Mexico.
He's like, he hates me, bro.
Yo, la raza, he don't like us, bro.
He ain't one of us.
Nah.
So pretty wild. So, but I think it feels like we're setting up to that game.
I think it's going to be U.S.-Panama in the final.
Wow, bro. I mean, look, I find it entertaining seeing the Mexico Twitter getting upset at their team. It's fun for me, but we'll see what ends up happening.
Up next, we have Ben White has made some news by leaving the English national team. Now, Alexis, you said you've got a little more inside info. I haven't seen too much news about what specifically happened.
Well, he didn't leave. He was
kicked out.
He had ado. No, that was in the World Cup.
Yeah.
He left on his own terms in the World Cup. But he had to tell the English, the national team, whether it was directly to Southgate or whoever calls, that Ben White would like to remove his name from consideration, where he probably would have been chosen. Now, there's two sides to it, right? There's the side that, okay, he's not starting at right back. You're probably going to have Trent Alexander-Arnold. Even when he was down bad, he was the guy that Southgate liked. Where else is he in the depth? I forget who else is above him in the depth chart at right back. So there's that. Okay, maybe he's not going to start, and maybe that's why. And I know for a lot of people that's got to be frustrating, right? You go to a World Cup, or you know you're there and you're training every day. You're away from your family, your significant other, and I know apparently he's very close with his partner. They just got married, and then you're not playing. You're like, why am I here, dog?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a common, you know, we saw the thing with Giorena. Giorena was almost sent home.
But he did go.
The stuff with Ben White. Ben White, he said this in an interview about not watching football.
This is a long time ago.
A long time ago, yeah.
He said on his spare time, he doesn't really watch football.
Right. So,
which, like, I can't blame the dude.
I can't.
It's shocking to us because you're like, what is all we do?
It's like,
but this is his job. You know what I mean?
If we were just at home, all like on our spare time, watching comedy specials all the time.
Imagine you had a night off from doing stand up, and instead of spending time with your baby and your significant other, you just popped up an old special of someone else's. We'd be like, dog, you gotta get help. You know?
Why? These Carrot Top specials aren't gonna watch themselves.
Yeah, no. I don't care if I've seen this one 15 times.
So that was what you have on screen. Reportedly, Ben...
This was in the World Cup.
Yes, yeah.
In the World Cup, apparently, Gareth Southgate's assistant, in front of the rest of the team, kind of, what do they call it? Dressed down?
Yeah.
You don't undress someone.
You undressed.
Go back to the Joe Scally photo real quick. speaking of undress, no, he dressed him. He was disrespectful.
Yeah.
Undressed. No, undressed is correct.
It is?
Yeah.
You verbally undress someone. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, damn. Well, everyone, I guess coming from me, no one would assume I mean that way. But yeah, apparently it was disrespectful. And I guess. Part of it, well, first of all, the assistant, Steve Holland, has absolutely denied it.
Okay.
So that needs to be said. This is all alleged. No one knows for sure. I think part of why I said I have a little bit more sort of an understanding of it is because if you notice, there was a huge campaign to show the Ben White re-signed around the same time that this news was going to drop. So Arsenal clearly has his back. The fact that he doesn't watch football every day has led a lot of people to suggest that maybe he doesn't care.
Right.
And that he's not as committed to football because he's not watching it every day. And I get that in a place like England, you can't say, oh, I don't watch football casually.
Yeah.
If you're a footballer, to so many people, that just goes against the code of being a footballer. But Ben White has been playing with a slight knee injury all season. He's very rarely out injured.
Yeah. And played well.
Played well. And in fact, the training team, Mikel Arteta has told the trainers at training that you have to watch Ben White because he won't tell you if he's hurt. You have to watch. You have to suss it out yourself.
Yeah, yeah. He wants to do his job.
The guy's a maniac. And apparently, this is all a fodder that comes from, I believe it was Ornstein who mentioned this, or somebody who's...
The Athletic.
Yeah, at The Athletic. Somebody who follows, a beat writer for Arsenal, who follows Arsenal very closely, has said that the training staff previous to all this has said, if you send like 10 hours of footage to Ben White, he'll know all 10 hours of it, like by the letter of it, the next day in training. He'll know his opponents. So he's very clearly dedicated to his job. Whatever happened with the national team had to be bad enough where he's like, bro, then I'm not coming until that guy's gone. Or until a new coach comes in.
Yeah, so look, it's not the level of attention that, I think, I'm trying to think. Look, it's clearly...
I think it's because he looks like he's on Love Island. I think that's why people are disrespectful about it.
It is a calculated decision on Ben White's part where, maybe he felt like one of his boundaries was crossed and he's like, yo, don't even call me in, right? So we're probably never...
Which I can respect that, right? If someone's like, no, my integrity, no, I'm not going to let
you talk to me like that. I respect that he's saying that and I don't take it as he's not interested in playing the game or not playing football. That I don't take that way
lot of people
at all.
A lot of people are starting to add 2+2+2 in a way where it's not.
Yeah, it must be something must have happened where maybe he expects some sort of apology or some sort of acknowledgement of his experience or his feelings.
But former coaches, it seems like older people are like, get him out of here. What Harry Redknapp was like, Southgate said the door was still open. Harry Redknapp, quote, close the door on his mush, which I hope that's his face. Because if not,
we don't know.
I don't know what body part mush is. You know what I mean?
Because I know what a fanny pack is here. What y'all doing over there.
And if you would have added a Y to mush, I would have said, okay, I'm not 100% sure anymore. Was the lady next to Joe Scally?
Yeah, we got
to
bring back showing a mush. Get the picture of Joe Scally back up.
Don't do that. Please don't do that. For me, I think the most important part is whatever the issue is, if Southgate said the door's still open, then and we don't know it, then it must be, there was something happened, but it hasn't been resolved, so I'm going to leave both doors open. And to all the old heads who are like, how dare you say no to England? How dare you, blah, blah, blah. You don't know the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
The man's been a stellar, citizen this whole time.
Yeah, I remember reading Grant Wall's book, Masters of Modern Soccer, where he has a chapter about Roberto Martinez.
Yeah, yeah.
And
back when he was coach of Belgium.
Back when he was coaching, I think he might have, I think he just started coaching Belgium at the time.
Because he was like the future of coaching.
But he was, I'm not the future of Portugal. so he apparently, he mentioned in the book, Roberto does, about his obsession with the game. So he's like, this is the opposite of
the
Ben White.
TV
multiple TVs.
This is crazy.
So this is, and Roberto Martinez, he told his wife that he had to install a second TV at home.
He has an L-shaped couch.
Right.
So she sits on one side and has her own TV, and he sits on the other other part.
And he's analyzing
his own TV.
And he's analyzing a game or watching another game.
And in the book, he explains the reason I did this is because I want to spend quality time with my wife.
So I'm in the room.
You feel me? Hold my hand. I might squeeze when a goal is scored.
Okay, I'm holding your hand, but I'm watching these 1-2 patterns that I've coached into my players.
Interesting. With the defensive midfielders, I'm sorry. No, you're right. I'm interrupting you from watching your shows.
So she has an Omela home while he is watching the Champions League semifinal.
Yo, and he's watching game day, not even live TV.
My man, he's watching training.
Yo, homie is enhancing on the defensive drills.
Okay.
While his wife is watching, I don't know, the wedding video? And you're not a part of that, Roberto.
He's drinking out of a cup that says husband of the year. You know he is.
He's like, look at us. I spent so many hours with my wife. God knows what she's in there doing.
This is what family's all about,
bro,
babe.
I'm a committed significant other, dude.
Okay.
Husband of the year, dog.
So obviously some interesting stuff going on over with the national teams. But on the club level, we have the U.S. Open Cup start
Don Garber's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The Don Garber Cup, I think that's what we got.
Oh, they should do that.
But we had some big upsets, none bigger than El Farolito FC winning a match in the tournament. They're known for their burritos more than anything else. They're associated with the burrito shop, famous one over in San Francisco, known for the Mission Burritos. But Burrito FC, guys, are they going to win it all? They're going to be hosting the cup. What do you guys think?
Bro, first of all, El Farolito is an incredible burrito shop. Have you ever eaten there?
I have not.
All right, so there's three famous ones. La Taqueria, mm-hmm. El Farolito, and Cancun.
Okay.
Cancun. I've been to all. Cancun is the one place I went to where they sell regular burrito and a super burrito. It's a much bigger, more heavily filled one. Oh, wow. And I went up and I was like, yo, let me.
I kind of pieced that together. Okay. When you mentioned the super. Yeah, yeah.
I walked up and I go, yo, let me get a carne asada burrito. And he's like, okay, carne asada super burrito. And I was like, well, I didn't order super burrito. He goes, come on, man. I was like, oh, you right.
It's not even an insult at that point.
No, he's like, come on, man.
He's like, yo, you know what? That's on me, but not for not being truthful to who I am.
Yeah. I was using my instincts in the moment.
I had my wife is my conscience sometimes, and I got to stop that.
Right. She sits watching one show, and I fat shame out the window. That's what we do. We have an L-shaped couch. But La Taqueria El Farolito is absolutely incredible. I didn't know they had a soccer team. You know who does, though? The fans of Portland Timbers.
The Portland Timber. With the U.S. Open Cup, some teams are fielding the first teams, mm-hmm. and some teams are fielding the MLS Next Pro teams. Mm-hmm. And so.
And some teams are fielding the back of the house, bro.
Okay. Man, they didn't even shower after work, bro.
Their kids are the white aprons and the whites that the chefs were. They're out there in Crocs, my G.
So they got a big win at Providence Park as well. So it's not like it was just at home or whatever. So
did Eric Keating send us a video from this
yes,
game?
Yes, yes. Our friend Eric Keating.
I saw he was at a game. I didn't know it was from this Portland. Game.
We didn't get permission to play it.
We're not going
to
air it.
But it was a video of Harvey Neville getting his second yellow.
Yes.
And getting getting the red card and getting sent off the pitch. That's
okay. So now I remember why we're not going to play.
Yeah. So when the coach's son has his first. Has his debut mm-hmm. for the club and then gets sent off. You know what? It's going to make a little bit of news. Yeah. Okay.
Isn't it fitting, though, that someone British loses to a well-seasoned burrito? You know, doesn't it just kind of feel...
El Farolito was too spicy on the pitch, bro.
He's like, it's not fair, mate. There's all types of flavors. The word complex comes to mind, fam.
I think there's pepper in this.
I mean, it's illegal, no? It's just salt and vinegar. It's all we're like to use.
Impressive stuff. Look, for El Farolito to beat an MLS Next Pro team says a lot. El Farolito, I mean, look, let's just keep it real. El Farolito on Twitter right now has 971 followers.
Bro.
They play in NPSL.
Yo, up the burritos, dog.
Up the burrito. El burrito sabanero. El burrito sabanero. El farolito sabanero. Farolito de Belén. Anyway, it's a classic. Everybody
knows it. Yo, right now there's like three Puerto Rican dudes bopping in their cars.
Okay, we all grew up. Yeah. That's our music, all right? So a huge win. And look, some of these victories in U.S. Open Cup... Vermont Green also won their game. Bernie Sanders gave them a shout out, so that was pretty cool.
How about this? If El Farolito wins the U.S. Open Cup, you have to eat a burrito in your famous burrito eating style on this show.
Wow, let's do it. Let's
a super burrito.
Yeah, a super. I mean, well, come on, man. You got a harmonica, a burrito on this show.
According to this is how I eat burritos at all times. But if they win, then I will do it just for the vibes, for the views.
The fans have been waiting for this since day one. That was the day this show was technically born.
Okay. So shout out to El Farolito. Incredible stuff. a big, big win. And look, and this is what U.S. Open Cup is about. We want to have these incredible stories. I would imagine that the Timbers probably wish they could have fielded their first team.
Absolutely.
But this is how it is. That's how it ends up. So shout out to Ed Farolito. All right. So now let's get to our interview because we got to bring in one of the most handsome people.
Oh my God!
If you're handsome and you work in soccer, I mean that's it. You got a green light to be on this show at all times.
Yeah, you're gonna get harassed on this show.
Look, we're upfront about it.
We told you. Also, if you are a fan of chiseled jawlines, I suggest you screen cap any part of this interview coming up.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Now this is an honor.
Yes, finally, okay. Just... three of the handsomest men.
You know what? When I think of the two sexiest men in morning TV, I think of myself first.
All right, yeah.
And obviously. Then this guy eventually gets somewhere.
He crowbars himself in the list.
Yeah. This is an absolute honor. There's very often we talk about, we wish more people in American media got involved in football in a different level. And this dude's like, How about you buy a team, my guy?
Yeah, we're almost there. We have just a couple nickels to make up, to catch up.
Need to be able to afford to buy a soccer ball, but then comes a team.
Then we'll get there.
But this is an absolute honor. I mean, you know, if you're not watching this guy in the morning, what are you doing? You got to start your day off with a smile and then flip the channel and watch me. Absolute incredible. I mean, what an honor. Mark Consuelos, everybody.
Mark, what is up, man?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
This is like an honor, and we were joking around before, before we started recording. But yes, you are just a legend in the game, actor, being on television.
Yeah, but most importantly, bro, you're gorgeous.
It's good to be a gorgeous, football club owner.
Yeah.
But that we were teasing you about the fact that our wives also, just like most wives in America, probably also have a big crush on you, and you hear this all the time. But you know they watch you on live with Kelly and Mark, and so it's not really a question. It's just, bro. We just want to make sure you know.
You get your flowers, dog. Okay.
We want to give you...
You know what I mean? Well deserved.
This is the best intro to any podcast I've ever done.
Dude, based on
30 seconds, I'm coming back for sure.
Exactly. Nice. That's how we grease up the guests, and then we hit them with the hard-hitting questions.
I do have to ask, because you are someone who obviously tries really hard to stay in great shape, and you're doing a wonderful job of it, but when you're now a football team owner, do they sometimes, when you walk out there, do they think you are one of the retired players coming back to get their
What's so funny is I went to go visit the club last summer. It was the last game we had to win when we were in the fifth division. And I was there like a few days before, and they took me to our stadium. And, I was just messing around, kicking the ball. I played many years. I'm not that good. I wasn't that good. But I played a lot. I played a lot of football. And they said, "You want to take a penalty kick?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want to take a penalty kick." And it's a beautiful, I mean, this grass is just like a putting green. And it's kind of, it looks like it kind of canters to the sides or drains beautifully. It's pristine. It's got the lines, every 10 yards there's a different groove. And I'm like in this 25,000 seat stadium. It's empty. It's me and a couple of the other owners. And they put the ball down and I run up to kick it. And I pulled my quad.
Oh,
man.
The ball felt like a rock and I pulled it. I had just gotten off a plane that morning. I flew all night to get there to see the stadium. But it was the kind of pull where it hurt to walk. You know what I mean? Like, I was like limping.
It's like a nice grade two strain.
Yeah. The physio was like, you're six weeks, dude.
No, they sent me to the physio.
Did they really?
They should have pulled carried you out on the stretcher with the
fans started booing like you're wasting time.
So I had it, you know, they took me for a tour of all the stadium. I'm limping up the stairs. They're like, Mark, you're hurt. I go, no, it's fine. It's just a thing. And they said they got Michele, the physio, who's amazing. He worked with the national team. I go to his studio/center. It's amazing. He's got gadgets and electronic stuff. And they start working on my quad. And I'm in my underwear, and his whole family comes in, wife, daughter, they all work there. I'm taking like fan photos with like the family. But
it didn't. Most people don't get injured on business trips, Mark.
And if you do, you don't get to meet the physio and the family. That's pretty dope.
To answer your question, I knew that soccer's not a game that you can just, you know, that you can just kind of just full swing going. You gotta play a little bit. And a few years ago, I was in Vancouver doing a show, and they had a celebrity game at the Vancouver Whitecaps Stadium. Beautiful stadium.
Yeah, BC Park.
Yeah.
Yes, and it was a run and gun game. Run and gun. You know, those celebrity games, nobody's playing defense. Everybody's sprinting. And the first 6 minutes, I pulled both groins and a calf.
Jeez.
I know.
Well, how about this? I only got one groin. That's really impressive.
My goodness, Mark. They get intense. Yeah. Did you see that clip of Kaká getting slide tackled by that kid Speed? You know what I mean?
Kaká.
I would have been pissed off.
Yeah.
Very valid. Yeah. Don't do that to Kaká nor Mark Consuelos, all right? We're putting it out there.
Mark Consuelos.
Consuelos. Yeah. So like you mentioned, you are one of the owners of Campo Basso, and it's a miraculous story in Italian calcio history. I mean, just two back-to-back promotions, and then trying to get to Serie C right now. If I'm correct.
Yeah, so it's actually it's we were relegated from C down to F 2 years ago before we bought the team, and the team was disbanded. And the group that I'm a part of said, and we were part of another ownership group of another team in Italy, a Serie B team. And the principal, Matt Rosetta, called me and he said, listen, I know we're part of Ascoli and we're a minority group, but we can become full stakeholders of this team that just was disbanded. They've been relegated from C to F. So we dropped two levels. And I said, okay, it's August, man. Like, don't we start soon? He goes, yeah, we start in 12 days.
Do you need anyone to take penalties?
I said, do we have a team? He goes, no. I said, do we have a coach? He goes, no. I said, do we have a sporting director? He goes, no. I said, do we have a stadium? He goes, yes, we have a stadium, but the grass is like 2 feet high. It's in disrepair. I said, and you want to buy this team? He goes, yeah. I go, let's do it.
And hey, so that is trust.
He had connections. He was able to mount this whole situation, get on the field for the first game, and we won 38 out of 40 games in F. We were promoted last year, and we're going to go for our second promotion this year.
God, that's incredible.
It is. We checked, and it'll be the first time in Italy that an ownership group started from the beginning, not mid-season, and was able to, fingers crossed, get promoted twice.
Right.
Consecutively in the history of Italian football.
Now, we should probably, I mean, this is why we have you on, since you were so willing to buy this team with so little information. Can I pitch you on Cooligans FC?
Cooligans FC. Yeah. We have a team that plays, it's a co-ed team that plays at Brooklyn Bridge Park.
Uh-huh.
It is all mostly stand-up comedians.
And the skill level
who are usually
is lower than you just thought.
Yeah. Who are usually playing a little bit hungover from the night prior. So just something to consider.
Here's what you'll love. We haven't been relegated yet. Now,
Also, there is no relegation in our league, right, right. But it's still
no, no. He's got to find that in the deck himself. Don't give him the negatives. We talk positives only.
So, you know, we've spoken to a lot of owners in the game, whether it's an owner of an MLS team, owner of teams in Scotland. Yep. There's an interesting. You know, I think people learn things very quickly from being an owner. We all know the history of Italian calcio, and we've heard of the Berlusconis, and we've heard the craziness of what it's like to be an owner in Serie A. But in you know, going from F to and then trying to build this club up to get to Serie A someday. What have being an owner in Italy? What have you learned? What are the at least one of the experiences? Something that surprised you? Because there's always something kind of like, wow, I did not know this would be part of the job.
The rumors are true, my friends. The rumors are true. You couldn't write some of this stuff. You know, I grew up in Italy, so I was such a fan of Serie A in its heyday, you know what I mean? Like in during Serie A's heyday, before there was, you know, such an interest in, so, and the EPL was so massive as it was, you know, the players used to go to Serie A. But let me see, one of the things that we've dealt with this year, our referee consultant, okay? Our referee consultant.
It's already great.
I like this.
He comes in and he tells the guys, hey, listen, this referee has a tendency to call penalty kicks. This referee doesn't call penalty kicks. This referee is, you know, he'll if you speak to him, he'll card you quickly. He just kind of gives the guys a scouting report on the referee. So we win the game. I'm happy. We win the game. But then we get a call from the league or from the referee association. They said, listen, your referee consultant accosted the referees back in the locker room area, wouldn't get them out of their area. So now we're fining you, and we're closing porte chiuse. That means your next game has to be played with no fans.
No fans.
Behind closed doors.
Which means that's a $50,000 to $100,000 hit in,
whoa,
in eight. And we're like, wait, the next game is against our rivals, and we're neck and neck, first and second place. We're going to get our biggest gate. So just having to deal with that and massage that. And, you know, oh, by the way, let me just preface us by saying all this is alleged. Our referee consultant, right, alleged. Right. I'm not saying he did. I'm not saying
we
got
to add that to the board. Allegedly.
Allegedly. But we were able to work it out. We had one of our cup games. They allowed us to close our doors, which we weren't. It was a midweek game, cup game.
Gotcha.
We were getting a third of the gate anyway, and they allowed our. We were able to do that. But guys, it's so Italian. It's so Italian.
Well,
I'm not Italian, but I feel like I do just fine in Serie F. I'd be like, oh, yeah, really? Because I got a guy who told me that never happened. And we could go back and forth.
The interesting thing is, I mean, we you know, we can joke about it sort of lightly about, like, you know, the history and sort of corruption. And we've seen, you know, even this.
It's just a different way of doing business sometimes.
Right, right. But the interesting thing is in the lower leagues, there's no VAR. There's no oversight. It's still back in the day, there's that one ref. He makes the decisions. What they see is what happens. So you have to, you know, it's old school, even though we're in the modern era. So there's a certain way, like you said, there's a certain way of doing business.
There's
you gotta navigate
way of doing
it
business.
A different way. Look, we're all trying to succeed. Yeah. Nobody's trying to break the rules. So I get it. No, right?
Was this a dream of yours to be a club owner? Because I mean, you're obviously killing in the entertainment business. This feels like such a heavy, stressful job of being involved in a club. I'm sure there's great highs. We've all watched the Sunderland Till I Dies, and we've all seen the, you know, Welcome to Wrexham. There's obviously some real positive moments. But most of what I see is Ryan Reynolds and Rob Magliani rubbing their faces. Why do you want to be in this, dude?
I got to tell you, and this is not, I'm not being like hyperbolic or anything like that. It is one of the greatest experiences of my adult professional career is being part of this group and part of this city and getting their team back from extinction. It is all the things you're saying that you're rubbing your head a lot, but I got to tell you, it's so meaningful and fulfilling. It's the greatest fantasy league you'll ever want to play.
That's so, yeah. I mean, you're playing like live fantasy.
The fantasy is, you know, these guys' real jobs and lives, and you're responsible for their well-being.
Wait, one of the things about Welcome to Wrexham, my wife very, very lightly was watching and started. She watched one of the All or Nothings with Mourinho when he was at Tottenham.
Yeah.
And she was like, I think I like this Mourinho guy. I'm like, I don't think you read context clues very well. This guy is pretty rough on everyone. This is not a great guy to love. But she started to kind of get involved. And then we saw Ryan Reynolds' wife, Blake Lively, start to tweet out in all caps. And like, oh my effing Christ, this is amazing. She started getting involved. Will we see a time where we see your wife in the owner's suite at Campo Basso? Just really kind of getting in, because if I'm not mistaken, she's from Jersey. I know she gets the yelling and going crazy for a sporting event. I know that's in her blood.
So I'm the Ryan Reynolds. She's the Rob McElhenney.
Okay. good. You got a good partner there. Yeah. All right.
Rob is from Philly, and Kelly's from South Jersey, which is, she's like 10 or 15 minutes from Philly. Okay. So she's essentially from Philly. And they do different down there. Like and what's interesting about Kelly is her people, she's Italian, are from the town, our biggest rival, and who are training us in second place. Her people are from that city.
Oh my God, you bought the Giants and she's an Eagles fan.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Wow. What a difficult situation to be in, but all right.
Loves it. You know, she, whenever she walks into a room and she hears me speaking Italian, she's like, she just turns around and walks the other way, because she knows I'm on a big Zoom call, or transfer window, and we're making deals, and you know, our guy's supposed to meet the general manager at his office. Now he's meeting somebody else at a fish market, which is really kind of crazy. Fish market in Naples, which is not really where you want to go.
Not at all.
If she's
from the Philly area, I have a feeling one day she's going to walk up to you and be like, you know what I just thought? What if you locked the refs in a room and you'd be like, wait a minute, wait a minute. We did this before. We're not allowed.
By the way, your wife has good taste. I watched that Tottenham Mourinho show, and you're right. She was right. Mourinho came off great.
I know. How'd they do that?
It's just,
the power of editing.
It's CGI, voiceovers.
Yeah, AI, dude.
AI.
It's a deep fake.
I saw a clip recently. I don't know her name, but her first name is Carrie. She was on live. You were talking about Edgewater Castle.
She also owns a team.
She's a part owner of Edgewater Castle, we're friends with the owner of that team, which is based out of Chicago, and it's a team built essentially like a lot of immigrants and refugees, and it's a great a story. So it made me so happy to hear just people talking about American soccer on a morning show, and I love, you know, you started talking about Campo Basso. So I'm curious about just bringing this story and just bringing the sport to more American fans. What are the morning show? I don't know exactly what the demographic is of people who are watching morning show. How much soccer can you get on the show? Are the producers cool with it? Is Kelly cool with it? Like, because I mean, for us, you're speaking to us directly.
Right.
But we paid attention.
We perked up right away.
But how easy is it to explain the game and bring the game to American fans?
That's a great question. You know, our audience is predominantly women. But as soon as I joined the show, you know, I said, listen, this show is about being, especially the show that we do in the morning. It's about being yourself. And I said, I'm going to bring sports in, guys. I'm just going to bring sports in, and I'll be judicious with it, but it's coming into the show. In the first 20 minutes, I'm talking about what I watched, what I'm thinking about, what's on my mind. We have a soccer team. I'm going to go to Italy. You guys are going to shoot a little segment. We'll bring it back for the show. Yeah. I want to grow the brand of our team and make, you know, because there's so many expats in North America from the Campo Basso region. And I said, that's what I'm doing. They're like, great, we should do it. And I got to tell you, the demographic is, we have such a strong demographic, but we're growing a male demographic for live at 9 o'clock in the morning. There's like, I have more husbands that I'll be walking, you know, the dog in the park, like, hey, I watched a show with my wife. Keep talking about sports. Keep talking about sports. Yeah. So I gotta be judicious. Awesome. Today. Yeah. So today I went on a rant about March Madness, about the brackets. And I said, guys, all you have to do, whatever game you're watching, whatever, all this is ridiculous. Just watch the last 5 minutes of each game. That's all you need to do. Just watch the last 5 minutes. It'll last an hour. It's an hour. And it's the most exciting part of the game.
That's right.
Well, that's genius, actually. It's good advice.
I mean, but when it comes to soccer, it is...
It's only an hour and a half, though.
It's 2 hours. It's two hours.
It's an hour and 45 minutes because of beginning to end.
But, I mean, I don't know if you saw the Manchester United-Liverpool FA Cup game. That was literally one of the craziest games I have ever seen. The four to three. And yes, it went to extra time.
It was a title fight.
But there is no watching the last 5 minutes of a football match. No, that's not even an option.
That's why I was very specific about basketball. Like,
that sport you can watch for 5 minutes. I want to bring this up because very early on, I believe this was in college, I turned on the TV, I woke up and I saw one of these segments you talk about, like when you go to Italy, you know, live would put these little segments together, and it was a behind the scenes of your wife, and I can't remember who the co-host at that time was, waking up at like this crazy hour. She would go to sleep really early. It was about the process of her being on a morning show. And I thought to myself, oof, I'll never do that. That seems brutal, right? And then as a comedian, sometimes I used to live on the Upper West Side, not far from the ABC studios. And I would wake up sometimes and I'd be coming home from the bar or, you know, doing stand up at like 4 or 5 in the morning. And I'd see limos pulling up, and maybe it was your wife or whoever, someone else. And I thought, like, man, I can't believe I'm going to bed when they're already going to work. I'll never do that. Well, a year ago, I joined a morning show, and my life is completely turned upside down. So our show used to start at 9, so I would go to bed at 9 p.m. and wake up at 3 a.m. to be able to get to the studio. Give us and give the audience just an idea of what your typical weekday is. Like, what's a Tuesday evening, and when do you go to bed? When do you wake up? How early do you have to get to the studio?
Alexis is mainly looking for advice directly for himself.
100%. This is for me. Audience, you can listen to the last 5 minutes of this interview.
So around, you know, we eat dinner early. We get done eating dinner. We're done feeding ourselves by 7. We're done.
Okay.
And then we are empty nesters, so we just go up and hang out, bed or whatever. And I'm catching up on Campo Basso stuff. I'm watching the news programs in Italy that have so many TV sports programs talking about Serie D. It's bananas. It's bananas. I mean, I went on one a month ago, and I had the time of my life. So I'm catching up on that. I fall asleep around 11:30. Okay, fall asleep around 11:30. My alarm goes off at 6:30, and I get out of bed at 6:45. I make coffee for my wife. I shave, I shower, and I leave my house at 7:45. And we live 8 minutes away from the studio. I live on the east side.
Oh, that helps.
That's a big plus right there.
I walk into the door at 8 a.m. So I woke up at 6:45. I walk into the door at 8 a.m., hair, makeup. They brief me on the guests that what's up at, you know, don't ask them about this. You can ask them about that, blah, 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 blah. And here's some items to talk about in the morning. And then we're done. We tape a show at 9 a.m. Sometimes we tape a second show for another date. And I'm done with everything I need to do after waking up at 6:45. I'm done at noon.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. My life is a little different. We recorded. Yeah, we record in Stamford, Connecticut, so it's a little different. Yeah, that face has it all. I am certainly not 8 minutes from the studio. I'm about 45 in the morning and about an hour and a half coming back. So I get home around noon.
But 45 in the morning, you can kind of like, you're prepping for the show, you're getting, you know what you're going to, you know, you know what you're doing, right?
So I'm fine. Once I get there, we have the meeting in the morning, that kind of stuff. But I remember your wife at that time, like Kelly would have to sit in hair and makeup much longer than what you're saying. I mean, it was like a, it was like, she was like 40 minutes or something. And I was like, what are they doing? Every hair gets hairspray? How are you in a chair for 40 minutes?
It takes me, I timed it. I think it takes me 9 minutes from the time I walk into the studio until I sit in the chair. And that's when, like, you know, they're doing, I'm like, 9 minutes, you got 9 minutes. Just do what you need to do.
No, okay. I mean, we got to, you know, use our male privilege. And this is one of them. Nine minute makeup.
Yeah, hurry up. One hand has got hair makeup brush. The other one's got hairspray. We're done. We're good. I don't care what it looks like. They're looking at the smile, kid.
Okay. This is what makes the money. Shut up. Anyway,
who cares about the hair?
Last question. I just want to, you know, you are, it's great. Look, talking to you, it just clearly shows you are a very much involved owner in this club. And it's not something for your portfolio by any means. It's really great to see. I really want to know just your thoughts on, like, and just the feelings of, like, the moment Campobasso, when they get to Serie A, how are you envisioning that already? What is the foundation being laid in place to not only get that done, but just celebrate that moment? What would that mean for you?
You just gave me goosebumps, man. Honestly, just gave me goosebumps. Oh my God. Luckily, I'm with a group that has a long range, very focused plan, a sustainable plan. Because a lot of people come in, they dump all their money in, they don't get promoted. And sometimes they get relegated right away. I've seen plenty of ownership groups that, you know, dump money into a league and they're relegated. That's a major loss. As you can see, just revenue wise. So we have a very, very specific plan on how our budget is going to look compared to all the other teams. And if you look at it, it's interesting. Some of the smallest budgets are doing way better and are in promotion zones versus the guys that spend so much money chasing that title. It's really important to get good people that on the ground, a coach and a sporting director. We have two of the best. Our coach played with Maradona at Napoli. Okay.
Wow.
He's a legend. He's so smart. And he's just, you know, we adore him. And the sporting director has found us, you know, these guys, these young guys, because in Serie D, you have to play with four under 20, under the age of 20 at all times.
Oh wow!
Wow,
okay. Meaning like they can't even be subbed off, like or they have to start.
You got to sub another under 20 in.
Whoa, that's crazy! I did not know that. That is remarkable.
So the key to winning Serie D, and by the way, there's seven groups. There's seven groups of 17 teams. Okay, there's seven groups, all regional.
Yeah.
Only the first place team of each group gets promoted. It's harder to get promoted in Serie D than in Serie C, for sure.
Wow. So you have to be better than all the other first place teams as well, on top of all the other clubs that are in.
All the first place teams in every first place team of each group goes up.
So you have to finish him first.
Oh, okay.
It's
the
same as like what Wrexham was trying to get out of the name. You have to finish top to get automatic promotion. That's wild.
The key is having, you know, scouting and getting these young guys. We have 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds that, you know, we invest in them, and hopefully they'll be, you know, that's another part of this business. You invest in a young guy, he can be 10x what you put into him later on.
Right.
Yeah, you know, when the time is right. But no, we have really, I got lucky because I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. I know a lot about soccer. I watch it. I played it. I know enough to have a conversation about certain players, but we have such a good group with a long-term sustainable plan to keep professional soccer in Campobasso where it belongs at a high level at all times.
Wow. Amazing.
Well, one day we'll have to meet you in person so we can have a conversation about some of the stories your coach has told you about Maradona. But we will not put that on air.
Because we can. That's a whole different documentary.
They're amazing. They're amazing.
I'm sure they are. Stop, because I'm gonna run in an 8-minute circle around ABC Studios until I find your apartment.
You're giving us goosebumps, Mark.
Guys, listen. I'm gonna send you a couple of Campobasso jerseys. I'll have my people reach out.
That'd be the best. Yeah, dude. Thank you.
Just gotta rock on a show, and especially if we get promoted. When we get promoted, a little celebration. Maybe I'll come back on and talk to you guys.
Would love that.
You're more than welcome. Mark Consuelos, owner of Campobasso, obviously live with Kelly and Mark. This is just an absolute honor. Yeah, seriously, welcome back on the show anytime. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been super cool.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.